over there in that hole beyond the sky. Just see if you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, to be glorious, Lord, I do declare. God's own son, he'll be the leading one at the meeting in the head. Oh, man, he's going to be a meeting in. Oh, aren't you glad about it tonight? Oh, I'm going to meet you over there, that home beyond the sky.
Singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own son, be the leading one
at the meeting. And one more time, oh, there is going to be meeting in the air.
Sweet, sweet by and by,
I'm going to meet you in that hole
beyond the sky. Such singing you will hear, never heard by Lord here, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own son will be the leading one at that meeting in the air.
Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. He'll be the leading one at the meeting in the air. How many of you want to be part of that? Yes, you know, Brother Donnie preached a message here just a while back and been reiterating it so many times here lately. If you want to go, you can go. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Now, how many of you want to go?
Amen.
Well, look at somebody and tell them, if you want to go, you can go. That's pretty simple. That's pretty simple, isn't it, guys?
Amen.
You want to go?
Amen.
Well, Mike, you can go. Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
I want to go. How about you?
Amen.
Oh, there is going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by. Going to meet you over there.
Sing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear, will be glorious, I do declare. God's own son, be the leading one
at the meeting
in the air. You have heard a little Moses in the bulrush. You have heard of fearless David and his sling.
Oh, yes, we have.
You've heard the story told of dreaming Joseph
and of Jonah and the whale we often sing.
There are many, many others through the Bible.
Oh,
I would like to meet them all. I
do declare.
By and by the Lord will surely let us meet them. That meeting.
Hallelujah. Oh, there's going to be a meeting in the air, in the sweet, sweet by and by.
By and by.
Going to meet you.
Meet you over there
in that hole beyond the sky.
Such singing you will hear, never heard by mortal ear. We'll be glorious, I do declare.
Hallelujah. God's own son, he'll be the leading one
at
the meeting in the air. Oh, give him a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. the meeting. I want to be at the meeting, don't you? We have some tremendous times down here, and God is so good to us to let us experience almost heaven on earth in some of these services that we get to be in. But you know what? It's not entered into the heart of man. Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God has got set aside for His people. What He's got in store for you. I tell you what, you're better off than millionaires tonight.
Amen.
You're far better off than our president-elect tonight.
Amen.
You're far better off than anything that's ever been on the face of this earth to know that God has got something special waiting for every one of us. Are you glad about it?
Amen.
Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight if you love Him. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. I'm going to let you be seated for a few minutes tonight. Brother Amos, if you'd get ready tonight to take us to the Lord on behalf of these prayer requests. Brother Terry Stockton asked us to remember Sister Jaretta tonight in prayer, but I got a lot of stomach issues, just really needs healing in her body, and so he's asking that we would certainly remember her tonight as we pray. This is from a family from down in Florida. I want to pray for Christian Sanjurid. I hope I got that name close to right, who has autism, and the family don't know what else they can do. Please pray for this family that God will move for this young man. We know that God can do that, don't we? We're just committed unto the Lord and ask God to be mindful of that prayer request tonight. Sister Melissa Vaughn says to please pray for Brother Aaron Vaughn. He injured his back early this afternoon, so we want to remember that prayer request as we pray tonight. Sister Janet Kennedy says to please remember Brother Andrew Kennedy in prayer. He is having ear trouble, also sinus pressure. So let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, something you'd like for this group to pray about, we're serving a prayer answering God, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
We're serving a risen Savior.
Amen.
We're serving a God that can never fail. He'll never let us down. Do you believe that with all your heart tonight? Let's stand as Brother Amos comes tonight to take us to the Lord. On behalf of all these requests, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. Appreciate Brother Amos Cutts, don't we? Brother Amos, God bless you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Shall we pray? Precious Lord Jesus, as we come to you, the Lord, this evening's hour. Lord, we're helpless. Without you, we're ultimately, Lord, absolutely helpless. Lord, we have no self-reliance. Lord, how Satan would like us to think. And we have so much self-help and so much built into us, Father God, to help us through this life. But Lord, you're there for us. And dear God, we realize, Lord, we are in the shape that we're in, Father God. We realize we're in this time warp or this segment. Lord, this little drop down from out of eternity. Lord, within that circle, there is so much, Father God, that happens. Lord, within this time element, dear God, and we look at these requests tonight, Lord, and Father God, our brother that hurt his back, Lord Jesus, Lord, having been there myself many times, but I can say many of the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth out of them all. I am the Lord that healeth all thy diseases, and I know that you've healed me many times, even of the same problem. Nothing's too hard for you, dear God. And we thank you for that, God, tonight, Lord. That all things are possible, Lord. Lord, even though these bodies are breaking down, we think of Sister Stockton, Lord, and Brother Eugene and Brother Andrew, I believe it was also mentioned, Father God. And Lord, these bodies, they'll constantly fail us. We know that Lazarus was raised up. He no doubt got sick and again, Lord. And we don't know how many times he may have got sick before he passed away. But Lord Jesus, you still remain the healer. And that doesn't cause us to be discouraged, Lord. We may be sick today and you'll heal us tomorrow. We may be sick a week, a month, a year from then, and you'll heal us again.
Amen.
We're already healed.
Amen.
Help us, dear God, we pray to God tonight. Lord Jesus, for each and every one of these requests, Lord, and our brother, as he comes to bring forth the word, dear God, may we pull on that gift, Lord, knowing, Lord, how much easier it is, Father God, to deliver one's soul, Lord, when people respond with faith, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you'll have the preeminence in the remainder of the service, God, tonight. May we lift up your name, Lord. And may you receive all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you, Betty. Appreciate you. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Brother Michael wanted me to make mention of this. This is the last weekend to make a donation or pick up a shoebox. All shoeboxes must be returned next Wednesday. So remember that. If you haven't did that yet, please go to the library. I think they probably have whatever you need to do over there, and they can tell you what to do or who to see. So anyway, if you'll take care of that, I know they'll certainly appreciate it. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Shake hands with somebody around you. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see him in the house of the Lord tonight. I believe he's coming back like he said. Play a little bit of it, brethren, if you will. It loves us still. This song loves us still. I like you, Larry. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, let's worship the Lord tonight, church. Oh, I believe he's coming back like he said. It's gonna sound so loud. It'll resurrect our dead. I like that.
It's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said. Oh, I believe he's coming. It's gonna sound so loud. It'll resurrect our dead.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Oh, say it, buddy.
It's gonna split the eastern sky.
Oh, and I believe he's coming back like he said.
I fall. Ascending, the angel of the Lord declared that it would be. He said, "Don't you stand here grieving, cause this one that is
healing
in like manner's coming back, just like he said." This could be the day.
tonight with all your heart. He's coming back just like he said. We've got a couple of specials tonight, but we ain't done singing that yet, so don't sit down. Brother Dwayne is here tonight visiting with us. Also, Sister Caitlin. They go to Brother Joe Green's assembly. They're visiting with us tonight. Both of those folks will come onto the platform. They're going to have a song tonight, a piece, I think. Ever how they want to do that? Who wants to sing first? It don't really matter. But we're so glad to have them tonight. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to come and sing. You might ought to sing that second verse one more time. I don't believe he's done singing it yet. Do you? Sing one more verse of that, if you will, Brother Harry. How many of you love to hear that guy sing? Amen. We mean it too, buddy.
Oh, and I believe the time is nearing that will soon see His appearing. This could be the hour.
Yes, sir.
I wish this would be the day when the bride from every nation,
thank you, Lord,
starts to lose gravitation
in the middle of the air. Trumpet's gonna sound so loud, it'll resurrect our day.
In the twinkling of an eye, He's gonna split the eastern sky.
And I believe He's coming back like He said. In the twinkling of an eye,
the eastern sky.
I believe He's coming back like He said.
Just like He said.
I believe it, don't you? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Well, you're just singing so good tonight. You can be seated. Brother Dwayne, God bless you. We're glad to have you with us tonight. We've heard Sister Caitlin sing. She does a wonderful job, and you're going to love to hear this guy sing right here. He is a singer. Give him a nice hand, Brother Dwayne, as he gets ready to come and sing for you tonight. Bless you, buddy.
It's good to be in the house of the Lord this evening. I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the pleasures I used to love have all faded from view. There's a new day ahead for me. All my heartache is over, for I left it at Calvary, where my new life began. I've come too far to look back. My feet have walked through the valley. Oh, I've unhappiness. Some see no reason for living. Life will give you a broken dream, full of heartaches and fears. Oh, turn around, don't look back again. Just face the new day. Too far to look
that I crossed over the line. Amen. Well, did you enjoy that tonight?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand. It's time to go on into the service. Brother Dale Smith's going to be coming tonight to bring us the word of the Lord. And I know you're going to be looking forward to hearing him bring the word tonight. We're going to pray for our brother, right?
Amen.
Amen. Just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight as we get ready. Let's sing this little chorus together as Brother Dale comes to bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Yes, I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Traveling along the back roads, headed in the wrong direction. Satan sure he had my soul lost and bound. God's love and mercy, His grace turned me around, and I'm glad I crossed over in time.
Oh, and I'm so glad I crossed over the line. I'm so glad I crossed over the line. The line that separates the darkness from the light. I'm so glad I crossed over in time.
Thank you, buddy. Love you. Appreciate you.
Amen. Don't believe I've ever heard that one before. But I've been told I crossed the line. But I'm glad I crossed over the line. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we're so happy to be here, Lord, among your children. Lord, a lovely spirit of worship in the house. Lord, we know that, Lord, that you inhabit the praises of your people. And Lord, we just pray now, Lord, as we would come to the highest form of spiritual worship, Lord, which is to hear and receive the Word of God for our day. Lord, we just pray, Father, that you'll help us to step out of the way. Lord, that you'll come and you'll fill the office, Lord, here this evening, and you'll stand behind the desk. Lord, that they'll look beyond the veil of tears in this human, Lord, this human pest house, oh God, and that they'll see, Lord, that there's a living God that's among the people tonight, Lord. Father, that you'll come and that you'll speak, Lord. You'll move out beyond the human ability, Lord, and that there will be, Lord, the ability of the Word of God. Help us, Lord, to touch the sick and the afflicted that are among us, O God. Lord, may there not be a feeble person to leave this place. And Father, may there also come such a sweeping on the people, Lord, that every heart and every life, O God, would be, Lord, set afire from heaven. Lord, that they would know you and the power of your resurrection, the forgiveness of sins, Lord. Lord, the filling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, have your way in every life, we pray. In the lovely and all-sufficient name of our Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. God bless you, friends, this evening. We invite you to the Scripture, into the book of Genesis. Amen. God bless you, brother. In the book of Genesis there, we would like to take a text from chapter 3 and we would like to begin reading at verse 22. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 22. The Lord God said, "Behold, the man has become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so the Lord, so he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of Tree of Life. May the Lord bless the reading of the Word this evening as you make yourselves comfortable. I'd like to title our message this evening from verse 24, He drove out the man. It's a striking place in the book of Genesis. I've been studying the message of the hour these many years, and I think we just crossed over 33 years since we came in the message. And I kind of feel like Jacob. I haven't attained to the days of my fathers. I'm a few days and full of trouble, Job said. But I don't think it's the length of time that you serve the Lord, but it's with the sincerity that we do serve Him. But it seems as though every time that we go back into the blessed old Word and we begin to read the book of Genesis, it's like it's a new book. It's like you read it and I said, why didn't I ever see that before? And so I was there reading here the other day, and I noticed in the Scripture, just to call our attention to a couple of places in the Bible, that the Scripture says, I think it's in chapter 2, I'm just going up from memory, that when He created the man, the Bible says, well, just referring to Brother Branham for a moment, He says that He made him a spirit man first. He said, and then He said He gave him a body, so that he would have these senses, so that he could contact the earth. And the Bible, as we read there, the Scripture tells us that there was that He actually took the man and He formed him, and then He breathed in him a breath of life. He said, and then He put him in the Garden of Eden. And so He had actually grown him out here. And we can refer to Brother Branham there where he says that he grew like a tree. He said he didn't have no life in him. He said he was dead. He said then that life came into him. He said then he became a living soul. And we find that He takes this man that He had formed and He puts him in the Garden of Eden. I thought it was striking that he would say that how that He had put him in the garden. And as I looked at word put, it actually has a greater meaning to change. And so I began to see that when Brother Branham began to talk of how that where man actually originally came from, that he came from the thought of God. And as God began to express Himself out through that pillar of fire and that Logos began to brood around the doorstep of the Father, He said, and from there He began to send forth those clinkers. And we've heard the story many, many times of the thoughts of God and how He began to express these attributes. But we find that when God made the man, that He made him first a spirit man. And then He put that man in a physical body. So first He was in the thought, and then He put him into a spirit. And then He actually changed that man's dwelling place from just a thought, and now as it was being spoken, and he became an expression of the spoken word in spirit form. And then from that spirit form, God in control now, takes that man and puts him in a flesh body. And then, so He actually immorphed the man from the thought, and He immorphed him into spirit, and then He immorphes him again into a body, then He immorphes him again into a Eden. And that Eden has always astounded me that it was this garden. But yet, we cannot find this garden. We can search every square inch of the terrestrial ball, as it were. We can search it all over. You won't find it. It's guarded. It was protected. It was there was something there, something about it. And so then we find that man, when man fell, that then we find that God then amorphes him again. Because now he changes his dwelling place from an Eden condition where he had the full authority of an amateur God. And he could speak and he speak to the animals, he could speak to the landscape, he could speak to the flora, he could do whatever he wanted. He was God upon the earth, and he named the creatures and so forth. And from there, as he was there, he came from that spirit man, and Brother Bram tells us he was a dual nature. That he actually had both male and female. He was masculine and feminine. And so he actually took from that man, and we realized that the spirit of the woman was not a byproduct, only the body. The spirit was in the original. And so he takes that, and now he parts that man, and he takes a byproduct from the body, the flesh body, and then he puts that feminine spirit inside of her. And so now then this man now has changed form again. And he's now changed form because God was changing form. God was Elohim. But then God changed his form to God when he created angels. And then he's changing himself again now to Jehovah. So the one that dwelled with his family. And so God now had a family. And so now Adam was changing form also. And he also was a man with a family. And so then, but we find that when Satan now, because God has this desire to express his attributes, and so these attributes that are in him, the prophet of God tells us that he made a man with the ability to fall. He created Satan that could cause the man to upset this program of God, but this didn't catch God off guard. God was not, the wool wasn't pulled over Jehovah's eyes. It didn't surprise God. He understood. This is why he came right away and said, Adam, where are you? He came looking for him immediately. He knew this was going to happen. Why? Because he had the attribute of shepherd. He had the attribute of father. He had the attribute of redeemer. And so he went looking and he found Adam. And so now he amorphes Adam again. And now he takes him into our text. And the Bible says, and the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. I never caught that just exactly. That he was actually, he went back to where his toes were in the ground. He went back to that place where he formed him out of that dirt. Now he has to go back there. And not only that, but then he actually curses the earth for Adam's sake. And now Adam has to go and Eve have to go. And with the drama, the prophet of God that he portrays, and how that Adam is leaving the garden, and he's got the sheep skins upon his body, and the tears are running, and all the imagery that we find there, the tears are running down Adam's face and dripping off onto the head of his wife, and the blood is dripping on their legs, and the bloody lambskin slapping their legs. I can just see and hear all this great drama. And then we hear the promise of the word where Brother Bram said to me, he came down and he wrote it out there in that little vapor of a cloud and said, L-O-V-E. And he said, I will bring you back here. Oh, but he drove the man out. I was reading a commentary way off my notes now. That sin always expels men from their Eden. And you know, when we think of the results, when we were children, we had no care in the world. We realize we're just, Brother Bam tells us all babies go to heaven. Little children that don't know better. But we find that when that first lie is told, when the first guilt strikes the human heart, Brother Bam talks about how that just telling a lie and how that your body is not even able to contain the fact that you told a lie. That it would show on a machine that it could actually register that your whole body goes into nervous prostration whenever you do something dishonest. And that in itself should preach to the world that man has a moral fiber and that the man is the only one that has it. They call the dog a slut and a hog a sow. And he said, Brother Bam said, but yet they have more morals than the humans. Brother Bam talks about, I heard it today, he was saying how that animals, they go on, the dog still lives like the first dog. My mom's got some snot-nosed poodles. I can't stand them little varmints. But they're just filthy little monsters. I can't stand them. She loves them, and so I love them for her sake, you know, because I love my mom. But boy, I tell you, them things, they get a child's love. I just can't stand it. And I have nothing against pets, but I'm just saying that there's a, you know, what good are them things? But we find that my mom, she's got them dogs. Well, that poodle dog, she bought her a bed. Paid good money for the bed. I mean, a gunny sack would have been better, cheaper. He would have loved it as much. But that dog goes back to that bed, and it scratches that bed, goes around and around in circles, and makes itself a nest just like the first dog ever did. Because it has a nature of a dog. You got a cow that'll act like a cow. You got a horse acts like a horse. They don't improve on their lives. They operate under the same modus operandi that they ever did all the way back to the Garden of Eden. But man, he's different. Why is man different? Why is man the only one that improves his dwelling? Improves his quality of life. Improves his outward appearance. Why does he do that? None of the other ones do it. They still run around naked and don't know it. And now that man's starting to think that he can run around naked. But he knows it. It doesn't matter where he is or what he does. They still know that they're naked. They may deny it, but they know. So here we find that this man, he's so different. And so now he has to go out and he has to go back to the dirt that he come from. And now he has to toil with the sweat of his brow because sin expelled him from his Eden. Now the word Eden, which I think was striking, I never knew this till recently, maybe I'm just a latecomer. But the word Eden, by definition under the Hebrew text, means delight. It means pleasure. So here, and Brother Bam tells us that man was designed for pleasure. He was designed for Eden. He was designed to never get sick. He was designed to never sin. He was designed to be an amateur god. But yet now sin drives him out of that Eden condition. And so now, here's man, he leaves his Eden. We find that when a child begins to tell a lie, or when a young man or a young woman, when they cross that line of virtue, that it marks their lives forever. They'll never forget that moment. It does something to him because what Eve had, what Adam had in the Garden of Eden, we find was a condition that Brother Branham tells us was called innocence. And the innocence is to be void of guilt, to be guiltless, to be sinless. And so that's what they had, and that was the most valuable possession that they owned, because under guiltlessness, they had a time, can you imagine, where they never knew disappointment. Could you imagine a place where a man or a woman, they could be in a condition of sinlessness? Where they could look at God and know that they were pure and that God could see them in that condition. That they never knew disappointment. They never knew defeat. They did not understand what it was like to be ashamed. The Bible says that they were naked and that they were not ashamed. Did you ever notice that Satan took that word not right there out of that sentence? And he moved it over here where the prophecy said, the day you eat thereof, you shall die. And he takes the not over here from not ashamed. He moves it, misplaced one word, puts it over here that you shall not die. And now the whole word has changed. And the Bible says they realized they were naked. And they were ashamed because the word not is not there anymore. Amen. And so now then, where they were once guiltless, now they are guilty. Amen. And because they are guilty, then they are ashamed. And because they are ashamed, they understood what it was to be defeated, what it would be to disappoint God. They knew what it was to be contaminated, to be sick, to be afflicted. Amen. Why? Because sin had drove them out of their Eden. But they were out of their Eden before they ever physically left the Eden. You say, how is that? Because they wouldn't hit themselves. They never had to do that before. Because now they were guilty. They saw themselves as guilty. And so we find that, friends, you say, well, that was back then. No, that's right now. Because every time that you miss the mark, to sin is to miss the mark. Is that right? Every time you miss the mark, if you're a real Christian, if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, you immediately leave pleasure. Now the world tries to interpret pleasure as material. Eroticy or whatever all these other things are that they try to, entertainments thrill seekers. That's not pleasure, friends. That's a perversion. But true pleasure was to be able to walk in the presence of God and to hear the voice of God walking in the garden, amen, in the cool of the evening, and to have the Lord Jehovah to come down, and the Lord God would come in the cool of the evening and would lay His children down, and they would know, amen, His unbridled presence in their midst. That's pleasure, friends. To know Him in the power of His Word is pleasure, true pleasure. Brother Branham tells us there's only one form of entertainment for the believer, and that's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, to know Him, that's what we long for. We try to substitute it, we have pleasure, when we get to go play volleyball, or it's pleasure when we get to go to the beach or whatever. And those things are pleasurable, but that's not pleasure. That's just gleaning some attributes of what real pleasure is. Can you imagine what real delight was? Can you imagine what it was in the Garden of Eden when real, true pleasure, when true delight reigns supreme in their lives? It's outside of our realms of mortal comprehension. That's right. And so, when Brother Brown begins to tell us about the program of God. He says, now the whole Bible, to my opinion, he said the whole setup is a dramatic story, starting at Eden, coming out through the gate, on out, by the way of the cross, leading right back again. Amen. So they leave the Garden of Eden, but the Bible is a drama of bringing man that was driven out of the Garden of Eden back to Eden again. It's an amazing thing. He said it's just one big picture that God placed out in his mind. He said, I can imagine seeing God before there was ever a foundation of the world. There's a moon, a star, anything. See him set in the space yonder. Now watch. And in his mind, he drew out that picture, what it would be. And everything he just spoke and said, let there be. Watch how he says this. And everything just began to come into its place. Isn't he wonderful to think of that? And then seeing this great sovereign love to come down and to save lost sinners like myself and you, I can't understand. No wonder the poet said, O love of God, how rich and pure, measureless and strong, shall forevermore endure the saints and the angels' song. So when God, the Bible says that he formed man out of the dust. I thought that was interesting because the word formed there in the original text means to squeeze. And so I thought of that. I thought, man, that's just like, you know, like a sculpture or something, you know. And I used to, when I was a kid, and well, even now, I like clay, you know, and things like that. And I'd jump on a potter's wheel tomorrow if I had one. And I just love, you know, just something about that clay in your hands. It does, it's like therapeutic somehow or another. But when I was a kid, I liked Play-Doh. Anybody like Play-Doh? Anybody ever eat it? Amen, brother. That's a real delicacy. I know some of y'all others ate it, but you didn't even tell. But I it was salty. But we like to play with it and mold it, and you get something in your mind, and you say, well, I'm gonna make something. So you got the clay and you got the blue one or the red one, you know, and you're making it and you're looking at it, and you say, I'm gonna make a horse. And so you start shaping it out, and you know, but the dexterity ain't there, you know. You just, after a little while, you're kind of looking at him. I don't know. This is more like a dog. And so you change it, and then, that's, I don't know. Maybe I'll make a dragon. You know, and so you just start changing it because, you know, it's not really coming into what you had in your mind. And so you just kind of change it along the way. Well, God doesn't have to do that. Because in his mind, he knew what that spirit man would look like. And when he made man a spirit man, he made him perfect the first time. And when he formed man out of the dust, he made him perfect the first time. And so the word there, to form, actually means to squeeze or to form with premeditation. So he actually premeditated in his mind. He didn't just, I don't know, I'm going to try this and see, you know, I think I'm going to make him, you know, like this, kind of ape-like, you know, but bigger and more erect. No, he didn't do that. God saw what the perfect man would look like, and he made him just like that. He didn't have to apologize. Hallelujah. And so he formed with premeditation. And so then when Brother Branham says, so he said, let there be, and everything just began to come into its place. Everything began to come into its place. Do you think the election surprised God? Oh, it surprised the media. Oh, it surprised this group and that group. You know, I didn't care. I've already done made my vote and cast my ballot. But you know, it was interesting. But there was the hype and everything that they put around it, and they made it like they said it actually got more views than I think the Super Bowl or something. You know, it was just unbelievable. But it didn't catch God off guard. But if that didn't catch him off guard, if the original sin didn't catch him off guard, you know, the Civil War didn't catch him off guard, the Second World War didn't surprise God, amen, the First World War that was to end all wars, it didn't catch God off guard. It was just stepping right in line with the Scripture. And what about, amen, your trouble tonight? What about your struggle? What about your fault? What about your failure? You think that caught God off guard? No, sir. Amen. God knows all about it. He knows the beginning. Why? Because when He said, "Let there be," He already understood what was going to happen. And so therefore, He was able to predestinate based upon His foreknowledge. And He can make a way. And He said, "I'm going to make a way for these people. I'm going to put a seed inside of their soul. I'm going to put some kind of identification. I'm going to put some representation in heaven by predestination. And when my word comes by, they will hear my word. And they will hear the voice of the Son of God. And they will respond to it." Amen. Hallelujah. Didn't catch God off guard. No, sir. So He formed the man. And then He put the man. Changed the man. I read you this. It's all wrong. Not the people. It's the program that's wrong. And now, what's it done? It's all headed up again and brought the whole entire world through a bunch of hybriding, perversion of the original seed of God, to another darkened chaos. So we find that there was a original creation that culminated in a Garden of Eden. But then the prophet of God tells us in Satan's Eden that now Satan has had 6,000 years. And at the end of that, he's got his Eden. But now then, the Lord is going to start again working with the material that He's got to work with in the earth today, which we think, well, He's kind of choosing second best. No, He chose first best. And He chose first best to work with. And whether you agree or not, that's why you're here. You're first best. He saved the best for the last. Oh, think about it, friend. But you look at yourself and say, "But I'm such a failure. I'm such a mistake. I'm such a misfit." No, sir. My Bible says that God has chosen the base things, amen, to work out His glory, to confound the wisdom of the wise. Oh, He saved the best for last, friends. And so He tells us now that the earth now, after all this hybrid and everything, it comes back to another darkened chaos. So what was there on the earth at the time when the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep was just chaos. But now, it's chaos again. We can all look around and say, "Yep, He's right. It's chaos." But watch what He said. "But I'm so glad that God is mindful of us again, that He can still move upon the face of the condition." Sure. He promised He would do it and call a little flock, which would be His bride. Amen. So now there's a chaos upon the earth. The whole earth is covered with chaos. But the Spirit of God is moving over the face of the earth to do what? The prophet of God tells us in Christ the Mystery. You've heard this 1,000 times or less. And he said, "What is it?" He said, "It's God." Amen. He's got a threefold purpose. And that threefold purpose was to first manifest Himself in the flesh. in order to what? To become a kinsman redeemer, in order to pay the price, because what the original sin was that man, through the woman, had now Satan had come through the serpent, and now through the serpent was able to project himself into the human race. Is that through? That's a church age book, is that right? And so now he projects himself through the serpent into the human race, and now hybridized the man seed with the animal seed. And so now there was a mixture, and it was through this mixture that the whole thing began to hybridize down to this final day. Now then, some will try to put the seed of the serpent in the human race in the flesh. Well, it is in a certain respect, it's in the flesh. But it's a greater seed than that, because Brother Brown tells us that faith was a seed of the royal seed. And so if there is a serpent seed, then it would be also, amen, a belief or a lack of it. Is that right? Because the serpent had a place for a soul, but he had no soul. And Adam had a soul and a place for a soul with a soul. And so that soul, that nature of Adam was resident so that he could manifest the very attributes of his heavenly Father. We saw that he immediately goes into creative power. He's naming the animals. He's doing his thing as an attribute, characteristic, an expression of God. But then when Cain was brought forth, what did he do? He became the expression of his spiritual father, as it were. All right. So then we find then in the earth today that there will be those that will express the attribute of the Word. They'll express the attribute of the Word. And why do they do that? They can't help it. It comes back to ownership. He has the right to do with his own what he chooses. And when God elected you, he predestinated you from the foundation of the world, and you will respond, amen, because you are an expression of the Word. You have to. So as the original seeds responded to the Spirit of God moving over the face of the deep, then so shall it be in this day, under this darkened chaos, when the Spirit of God begins to move over the face of our condition, then we will also respond to the Word of God, and we likewise then will come forth in a Eden condition. Amen. Right, we have to, because he said that what was it first? He would manifest himself in the flesh to do what? To reverse what was done in the garden. Because man had fallen through lust, through sex desire. So the second man, Adam, had to bypass that sex desire, come of a virgin, and now then through that flesh body that was born without the desire of man and woman, but it was the spoken word of God, that he could now, amen, put death under his feet. Hallelujah. Amen. And so now then, through the death of Calvary, through the cross of Christ, he could then, through that sacrifice, restore everything that Adam lost. Christ restores it back at Calvary. Amen. He pays the price for it there. And so now then, he tells us that he's going to restore the church back to an Eden condition. But how's he going to do that? Well, that was the second fold of the threefold purpose. The second fold was to have the preeminences. What did Adam lose in the Garden of Eden? The preeminence. Oh, yeah. I'll just read it to you here. See if I can find it. There we go. Now notice, what's his threefold purpose? Manifest himself in Christ, come into the body by Jesus Christ to have the preeminences, to what? Restore back Eden, bring back that which was lost. He said, that's the only thing that's out of order. The rest of the things was in order. Everything else, the body, the earth is groaning. It's travailing for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's already having its birth pains, and it, you know, it's trying to to rid itself of this of mankind. The earth is trying to do that through these tsunamis and hurricanes and all these kind of things. Earth is trying to rid itself of the pollutant called mankind. That's right. He's trying to. The earth is already in order. It's ready to for its baptism. Hallelujah. Amen. It's ready for its regeneration. But it's just man that's the problem. So Brother Branham said that's the only thing that was out of order was that man not giving God the preeminences.
Yes,
so now then, when the message of the hour came, we find that under the when the first man, Adam, was expelled out of the Garden of Eden, and he had to leave his Eden condition. And so then God set there a cherubim with a flaming sword that turned every way. We later see that in the Bible in the days of Ezekiel. And it was the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Brother Bam said it was the same thing, just from a different angle. Then later we see it in the days of Isaiah, when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train filled the temple, and those angels were there with those cherubim with the wings over their face and over their feet, and with two they did fly. Brother Bam said he saw the same thing that Ezekiel saw.
Amen.
We wouldn't have never known that. Thank God. But then he says, then John sees the same thing over in the book of Revelations. So now then, what was at one time holding man back from going in and partaking of the tree of life and living forever? Because why did he have to do that? Because before there was a shedding of blood, if Adam would have come back and partook of the spoken word. Because that's what the tree of life was the preeminence of the spoken word to create himself again. And so if Adam could have operated under that office of spoken word, then there would have been nothing to stop him from living forever. So God had to put him out of that dimension. So he moved Adam out of the Eden dimension, out of the Eden condition. And so now then Adam has to operate because he had chosen animal reproduction. So now he had to reproduce himself like an animal. Oh, but that, Brother Bam says, that's the way you got here is a permissive will. And he said, but that wasn't the original. And so now then, man has to go out and he has to reproduce himself like the animal, but that's not what the way it was supposed to be. And so now then what happened now? The breaking of those seals. What was it? It was the third pull, the restoring of the word. And what did that do? But now then that points us back and shows us that when Christ has the preeminence in one man's life, he could speak the word and squirrels would come into existence. Now when Christ had preeminence in the man, he could speak and a tumor would disappear. A dead fish would come back to life again. What was it? Amen. It was a restoration back to an Eden condition. And so now those seals opened up to do what? But as a wave sheaf over the people, to point the people back that there were going to be a whole bride body that would have the same office as Adam had lost. Because that was a restoring of the abstract back to the original. Oh, praise his name. What is it doing, friends? That now what was one time keeping us back from the spoken word, but now it's leading us to it. And so, but he has to have the preeminences in order for that to operate.
Amen.
The spoken word will never operate in the bride body until he has the preeminence. Oh, once an individual. Oh, and it happens from time to time. There's time, you know, that you were just absolutely surrendered to God. Nothing between your soul and your Savior. Look at Daniel one time. Perfect example, Old Testament type. Here was Daniel. The Lord had the preeminence in his life. He gets falsely accused, thrown into a lion's den. That's not correct. He got thrown into a den of lions. Big difference. And so he goes into this den of lions. And now watch, the Bible says the angel of the Lord, or the king says, you know, it tells him that the angel of the Lord was there. And so now what happened? But God came and manifest himself in the flesh in Daniel's life, had the preeminences in Daniel, and then Daniel, while he's in this den of lions, he's restored back to an Eden condition because now those animals don't want to eat him. Oh my! So now then we begin to think of what is taking place in our lives. That if we can give him the preeminence, then these lions, these demons, these fiery trials, these imps of Satan that come against us, if Christ has the preeminence, the prophet of God said that Satan would be defeated anytime, anywhere, and under any circumstance. Oh, he needs the preeminence in the church. Brother Adam over and over said, oh, what he could do. Amen. Tonight, if we would just let him. He could take our condition, this darkened chaos. Sometimes we look at our lives, and it's crazy. It's crazy. You know, you got, you know, this one, this kid is sick, this grandbaby's in the hospital, you got, you know, mother-in-law is acting up again, and, you know, my mother-in-law never acts up, but she's a sweetheart. And, but there's just things are going on, you know, wife, husband, family, church people, everything's going, going every which way. And you wonder, I just can't face another day of this. Oh, just give him preeminence.
Amen.
Just let the voice of God walk with you in the cool of the evening.
Yes,
Brother said, what was that tree of life? It was a man. Hallelujah. It was a man. It was a man, Christ Jesus, in a prefigure. Amen. He could walk with you and talk with you and have fellowship with you, commune with him. Oh, he'll separate you from, amen, the darkened chaos. And he'll let the seeds of his word begin to flourish and come to life. And he'll begin to make love to you and brood over you, and seeds will materialize. Seeds of faith. So we find that when, I want to hit a couple of these. We'll close here just directly. He said that sin always causes men to be expelled from their truest enjoyments. Sin expels men from their Edens. It expels from the Eden a pure and noble manhood. Think about that. That what happens when, you know, what would it be for a man to carry his virtue to his wedding night? A couple of amens. I mean, we would expect, you know, a woman, but, you know, oh man, well, hey, if there was ever a man that could make his way to his honeymoon without ever knowing another female. But we find that sin leaves a mark. Leaves a sin on him. Leaves a stain. And so now he has to carry that the rest of his life. There's no way he can get away from it. He'll walk with that it'll be in the back of his mind. Even though he may love his wife dearly, but that old self, that old sinner man that was back there in the world, still haunts him. What is that girl that she wanted to keep herself, but she didn't? To plague her the rest of her days. What is it? Because we're just pointing back to the original. What about any of those, you know, if a young boy, if he, you know, he takes that first drink, and now he can't say, I never touched liquor like the prophet did. What is it when he takes that first smoke, or, you know, that first bit of, you know, marijuana, or, you know, pop some drug, or smoke some kind of dope of some kind? He can never go back and say that he was virtuous. Because now that man, he's going to have to, it's going to expel him from the true testimony of what a real man is. He'll be able to say, you know, and what is it in the day that when sin comes in and a young man is, in the hour that we live in, because we see it's a woman's world. We see it's a Laodicea. It's women's rights. You know, that's what's being promoted. It's what's being pushed. So that every agenda is filled with it. Right on into the very mandates of the Roman Catholic Church was to actually give preeminences to women. That's right. It's right in one of their writings. And so we find that sin actually drives a man from his manhood, because the sin of the day, the very spirit that is on the age, is putting the man subservient to the female. That's right. And it's even the scripture says that your women will become your rulers, and your children will be your oppressors. And so we find in a man, because of sin, he's pushed out of that office, because man is not just a gender, but it is an office. To be a true man, a man of God, is an office that has to be protected and to be respected by the Christian faith. It should be. It also expels the woman from true womanhood, because now it tries to elevate her into a leadership position to where she's telling men what to do. That's right. That's what, you know, oh boy, I'm liable to get in trouble. Well, that's why the prophet of God said the workplace wasn't a place for a woman. Because she's eventually going to have to, because she, by nature, she's a matriarch. She's a mover. She's a shaker. She's got to get things done. She's a woman by nature, is going to set things in order, because she's supposed to be over the house. Put her in a job, she'll do the same thing, and that's why she excels to the top. And after a little while, she's a supervisor. And after a little while, she's telling men what to do. And she's going directly against the Word of God. That's right. It happens. And, you know, hey. She may not want to, but the very nature of the spirit that's behind it will force her into that workplace. And she'll excel just by nature and because of the spirit that's on the earth. It's the truth. You just watch around. I mean, it doesn't take rocket science to see that. Amen. So now that she's going to be driven from her position as a mother and a keeper at home, and you know, as a helpmate to her spouse, it's just the way that's going to go. It goes on to say that I've already hit these: exchanges innocence for shame, plenty for want, blessing to a curse, fertility to barrenness. I was reading an article some time ago that promiscuous behavior in females having multiple partners actually causes their body to refuse the male seed, and she will actually become barren. Not all barrenness is caused by that, but barrenness among promiscuous lifestyles is caused by that. But then I like this, that it takes a monogamous relationship of 7 months. Why 7 months? But to come back under one headship, and then she becomes fertile again. It's an amazing thing. Science, God, the body will declare the wonders of God. In the fourth seal, I want to just... it'll be a bit of a lengthy read, but I know you don't mind.
All right, brother. Good brief.
Okay. My little device here is acting up. Okay. This side of the fourth seal. And I got this. I was just sitting there. My wife was actually listening to this tape. I came to him from work. I walked in the house, and he just said something that caught my attention. I just sat down in the rocking chair. And I just went listening to this. And I said, what is this? She goes, this is a fourth seal. I said, wow.
Amen.
You know, everybody wants to take the seals and make them some you know, dark, mysterious revelation. I believe this is the greater part of the revelation that was laying under that seal that many times would just go over the heads of the wise and prudent. Brother Bannon says, long as the intercessor is still on the throne, Satan can stand there and accuse because he is the attorney at the other side. He is the opponent of Christ, and Christ is standing there, the opponent is standing there saying, but wait, Adam fell. Adam done this. I conquered him. I got his wife to believe a lie. And you said that she would be damned by it. I got it. But here is the mediator. He's standing there, amen, the kinsman redeemer, amen, stand there with the blood that can take the vilest sinner's heart and change it. The mediator is on the throne.
Amen.
Satan said, but they're guilty. He can say, but they're not. He said that Clorox was invented or manufactured to take the stain, to take the coloring of ink out of any other stain. They got it, break it up. You'll never find it again. It goes back into the gases and way back into the cosmic light and past molecules and everything else till it turns back to the original. Where it come from? It's a creation. And creation had to come from a creator, but all the chemicals that was manufactured and put there that broke up, and that's all there is to it. There's no more of it. Even the very water substance, it blends with the Clorox, which is ashes. Amen. Glory to God. It's all clean. That's what the blood of Jesus does to the true child of God when he confesses that sin and stands there justified in his mercy, goodness. It's so great till God said, I can't even remember it anymore. He is absolutely my son. I thought, oh my. You see, under the fourth seal is the rapture seal. Because it's under the fourth seal that the eagle anointing comes. And so it's also under the fourth chapter of Revelation that the door in heaven is opened and the church goes in the rapture. So what is the rapture? But the rapture is a restored Eden. When he restores us back, when he takes the preeminence, you are in the rapture. You are in the rapture condition under the fourth seal, because look what takes place under the fourth seal is where the Clorox bleach is applied to the bride elect under the election of God. The bleach blood now cleanses her and justifies her so that she is like she never done it in the first place, which was Eden, where she came from. Oh, glory to God. Amen. What Eve lost was her innocence. Amen. What happens under the fourth seal is a restored innocence back to the church under the bleached blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Satan will come and he will tell you, but you sinned. But your mediator says, but he did not. He said, but I've got the evidence. Yeah, you may have the evidence today, but there's coming a day, amen, when I go into his presence, that they'll play my tape back. And because I've been drawn up into his presence, and by that great magnet of God, and the magnet erases my tape, it can no longer be brought to my charge again. There is no evidence. Hallelujah. So restoring back to an Eden condition. The condition is the mystery. Everybody said, well, back to an Eden. Well, I can talk to animals and, you know, I can do this. Oh, no. So much more than that. Because you can't talk to the animals unless you're like Daniel. He said, innocence was found in me. Isn't that what the Bible says? Go there and read Daniel. He said, innocence was found in me. I was guiltless. And because of that, these lions can't eat me. Oh, think about it, friends. Amen. If we are standing here under his presence tonight and his blood, oh, the token, the literal life of Jesus Christ, amen, is proof positive that my price has been paid, then the Satan may accuse, but my mediator will stand in my place. I was listening to Brother Rand this morning. Amen. He's talking about, amen, we got to stand for something. And he tells about that man that went before the white throne and he had to appeal. And he was there and he realized, I was a sinner. I know I lied. I know I stole. He said, but then a voice that was sweeter than any other voice. Oh, he said, I looked and I saw a face that was sweeter than any mother's face. He said, but hey, Father, he stood for me down there. I'll stand for him here. Oh, I say, Lord, stand for me today. I know I've made plenty of mistakes. Oh, I've had bad feelings. I've had bad thoughts. I've done bad deeds. But I say, oh, Father, stand for me. Lord Jesus, stand for me today. Stand in my place. Oh, my. I was hearing that on the fourth seal. Brother Bam said it can cleanse the vilest sinner. And it was as plain as I heard any voice I've ever heard. The Lord just, right in my mind, just spoke. What can cleanse the hands of Lady Maccabee? I thought, oh God. I went back, I read every place that Brother Bam talked about her. There was a man that was preaching. He was preaching to, you know, Mohammedans and Sikhs and Jains and Hindus and Buddhists and what more. And he was a gospel preacher. And he came and he began to tell the story of a woman in the Oklahoma Territory. And this woman, her name was Lady Maccabee. And history tells us that she was, according to this gentleman, this preacher, was that she was so vile that she wore man's clothes and she smoked a cigar and she had a mouth that she would just cuss every other word. And she drove a four-horse stagecoach and she broke the speed laws through town and risked people's lives and she was just so vile and she killed men. And so that they arrested her. And she was so filthy that the prosecutors did not even want to touch her. She was so filthy and so evil. Amen. They didn't even want to come in contact with her. So and then when the executioner was going to kill her, that he didn't even want to come and touch her. And so they took her out and they poured tar all over, hot tar, and feathered her, and she suffocated and died. And that man, he stood and he said, oh, you religions of the world. He said, what could cleanse the hands of Lady Maccabee? He said, the place went deadly quiet. He waited for a little while, and then the little preacher, he said, he ran and he jumped and clicked his heels. He said, I'll tell you what can wash her hands. He said, the blood of Jesus can cleanse her hands. Not only can it cleanse her hands, but it can cleanse her heart too. Amen. It'll cleanse a vilest sinner. It'll wash the sinner and make him clean. Oh, I got to thinking about that. I thought, oh God, if it could wash Lady Maccabee, amen, it could wash my sins away. Oh, surely it could come and it could do something for me tonight if I'm sick or I'm afflicted. I tell you, there's a blood, amen, that can wash my sins away. Amen, there's a blood that can heal every sickness. It can take away every doubt and every fear. He's here tonight, amen, to meet your every need. He's a wonder-working God. Oh, He's a wonder. Hallelujah. Oh, he'll be your doctor and your medicine too. And when he gets through. Oh my. If he ever gets a hold to you, Brother Ben said, the biggest problem is that too many people get a hold to God, but they don't wait long enough for God to get a hold to them. Amen. Oh my. As our musicians return, we'll stand to our feet this evening. We're to be restored back to an Eden condition. Can you imagine? I kept thinking about this. Do you know that Adam lived 930 years? He was able to tell the Eden account to 8 successive generations. great, 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 great grandpa Adam. You know who his eighth great grandson was? Lamech, which is Noah's daddy. Can you imagine? That here comes Lamech. Lamech was just a boy. He was just a pup, you know. He was 53. He was only 53 years old. I mean, he was just a young fella, you know. He's probably thinking, wow, you know, Papa Adam, man, he's getting up there. You know, he's really getting up there. He said, you know, it's been a while. It's been 20 or so years since I've seen him. I think I'll go down and I'll go see Grandpa Adam. Think about it. Here he's 53 years old. You know, he goes down. He'll find himself a place where, you know, probably a pretty nice retirement community in those days. Where Papa Adam lived. And he goes down. He knocks on the door. You know, 930 years old. You got to give him a minute. You know, people text you, you know. People get impatient because you don't text them right back. You know. But here he goes. He goes to Papa Adam. Knocks on the door. You know, Grandpa Adam comes out there and says, "Hi, Lamech. Good to see you." "Yeah, Papa, I come to see you." He says, "Come on in here." So they go in. They sit down. Can you imagine? I need to meet a young guy. Here, you're in a checkered shirt. Come here. Oh. Come here, buddy. Come here, Lamech. All right, Lamech. Boy. He says, "How you doing? Doing good? All right." And so Lamech, he says, "Papa, what was it like?
Think about it.
In Eden, before the fall, Adam, no doubt, he had thought about that a lot.
Oh yes.
I mean, how could you not? How could you not think about it? No doubt he said, oh, Lamech, son. If you only could know."
Yes, sir.
That's what he thinks. What was it like?
Good preaching. Amen.
Adam would have just said, "You'll never know. You can't know." He experienced sinlessness.
Amen.
He experienced creative power.
Right.
But now he had been expelled from it. But you know, you say, "Oh, if I could have just talked to Adam." Well, put in a little tape one day called "Going Beyond the Curtain of Time."
Oh, yes.
There's a couple of tapes where Brother Adam tells a story. He says, "Whatever you do, don't miss it."
That's what I said.
He was there. He saw it.
Amen.
Now, he's not here to tell you, but I'm not worried about whether he was here to tell me or not.
Amen.
I don't need the man to tell me. Because the Bible didn't say in the days of the man. But it says in the days of the voice. And so, like it was in that day where there was a voice that was walking in the cool of the evening. Amen. So are we in this last days under a restored word. The voice is walking with us again. We have access to the voice. Now then, we also understand that under that messenger, we have a fivefold ministry, which is the final voice. Amen. In the bride body to the final age. We understand that. But notice, points to the voice.
Amen. Yes, sir.
So what was lost was innocence. What did it separate them from? The tree of life. What was the tree of life? But it was the spoken word. And what did it restore in this day? But the voice, the spoken word, and the tree of life. Oh, we're coming back to it. He said, now then, if they partake of that. So what does the spoken word do for you tonight? The spoken word for you tonight is your access to what Jesus' first doctrine was. You must be born again. So now then, under new birth, we have access to God. Amen. Through the new birth, we have access to God, which is access to the voice of God, access to the preeminences.
Yes, sir.
Which gives us access to the Garden of Eden.
Yes, sir.
And that way, Jesus says, whatsoever you have need of, ask it in my name.
Amen.
He said, ask that your joy can be full. Do you love Him tonight? Amen. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all you people. For His blood, the bleached blood, amen, has washed away each stain. We have access back to the throne tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I don't know where we'll be on that one. We praise Him. Oh, I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Heavenly Father, this evening, Lord, we enter into Your courts with thanksgiving. Lord, we come into this place, Lord, to give You praise. Lord, for what You have done for us, Lord, in this age, Lord, in this time. Lord, the rest of the world, they grope in darkness, and gross darkness is upon the people. But light has come into our midst to identify, Lord, Your elected church. And we can rejoice tonight knowing that though we were yet dead in sin and trespass, but that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, that it can cleanse the vilest sinner and restore us back into the purest delights of the Holy Ghost. Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we confess our sins, Lord, and we call upon Your name, Lord, and we plead the blood of Jesus. Lord, we ask for the token life, O God, not just to believe it, but to possess it, Lord. O God, that it would change us, Lord, from these vile creatures that we are. Oh, that we could say, Lord, as the old song of the church, oh, that it would change me from this creature that I am. Oh, we're looking for peace in the valley for me. Tonight, Lord, I believe there's peace in the valley now for us. Lord, we are Your children that are gathered under this pavilion this evening. Lord, speak to every heart. Lord, help us tonight, Lord, as we just surrender all to Thee. Take us now to Thy covert of Thy wings, O God, we pray. Under that great eagle anointing of this last days, Lord, that is bringing us back into Eden condition.
Amen.
Help us, Lord. Oh, God, be merciful to us. Lord, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But we know, Lord God, that Your blood can cleanse us, the vilest of sinners. Lord, to bring us into Your presence. Lord, that we can have fellowship in the cool of the day again. Lord, we love You. Oh, we give You the praise. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we love You. We worship You, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Mm. feel like we could pat our hands a little this evening? Amen. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And no precious is a gold that can make me white as snow. No other mountain I know. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh. Say praise the Lord. Amen. He's worthy to be praised. Amen. We love you. Pray the Lord bless you this evening. Amen. We got some more to be prayed for. So we'll lead another song. Amen. If you got a need, these other people, they defied their human. Amen. We've said it before that we're not, you know, humans having a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings having a human experience. So you just got to break out of the human. Amen. Just remember, we're going back. Amen. And let that man that was before, that was in his mind, that never sinned.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let it come forth tonight and claim every redemptive promise of God.
Amen.
Amen. Lead us in a song, brother.
Supply tonight.
Oh, redeemed.
Thank you.